All right, so how did you come up with this idea for this production?
Well, it's been something that's been developing for a long time. I did it first in Chicago in a garage, and the audience sat inside, and we performed in front of an open parking lot. And then I did it in New York at the workshop about 2 years ago, and I continued to develop the material at Montclair State University last year with their seniors. And the sort of impetus for it all was just that I had picked up the novel Peter and Wendy, and I remembered loving that movie as a child. And, after every single person knows the story and has some sort of relationship to the story, but I was sort of struck by how dark and complex and poetic the actual prose were. And I thought obviously a lot of people have done it, but in my personal world at that moment, I felt like somebody needed to make a play out of it. And it's done a lot. There's lots of adaptations of Peter Pan all the time, but I think there's a reason for that, and there's always room for more. It's something that's been performed like kind of every day on Earth ever since it first came out. And it originally was an annual play, and it's done in lots of different ways. And our production doesn't have a particular twist or a particular end, except that it's the sweetest, most loyal version of the story that I can imagine and the story that I've totally fallen in love with.
How do you want people to feel when it's over? How do you want people to, come up to you after and tell you how the play affected them?
Well, we have this sort of theme running through, it's a particular emphasis on the happy thoughts that are mentioned in the play, the thoughts that can make you so happy that you fly out of the room. And in the script, there's actually open spaces for the actors to improvise and invent new happy thoughts on the spot. And they're sort of thoughts from their own lives, and their thoughts that could be particularly idiosyncratic and not necessarily from the characters. And in fact, the theater, when we walk into the space, is going to be covered with happy thoughts that we're collecting from lots of different people, handwritten on the walls. And I hope that people sort of start to sense this connection between the idea of flying out the window to something that's sort of more personal and more specific to them, and they sort of have a reflective moment thinking about what their happy thoughts might be.
As you said before, this production's been done, pretty much every day, for forever. Your cast is kind of what really sets it apart as well. Can you just talk a little bit about them, what makes them so special?
Yes. Well, to me, I'm not looking for filling these roles in the way that, we imagine them iconically. I'm interested in finding new, fresh people that contain a particular type of magic and have a particular chemistry with each other, but aren't necessarily the obvious choice for the role. Captain Hook is played by a woman in this instance, and Tiger Lily, in fact, is just a flower instead of a savage, because we wanted to be sensitive towards the way that role is often portrayed. So it's not necessarily the people that you would expect to play these roles, but I think that helps focus on the language and helps to hear it if it's new.
How did it feel to have as much control as you did? I mean, you're the playwright and you're the director. I mean, not a lot of people get to have that experience.
That kind of tends to be what I do for exactly that reason, because I don't consider myself a writer in the sense that I create literature that people should read, but I do, out of necessity, in directing, love to adapt and create my own work, because it gives total room for spontaneity and freedom in the rehearsal room. So, for example, we're able to cut lines really quickly, we're able to move scenes around, and the whole development process is exactly that way. And that's sort of why I do it. It's not because I didn't want to work with a specific writer, but it sort of works out that definitely no matter what I'm doing in directing, it's important to be able to be playing with the text freely in rehearsal. And I do work with new writers, but always in those instances, it's the same sort of setup where I'm working with people that are interested in collaborating and sort of treating the rehearsal room as a laboratory.
When you think of Peter Pan, you think of this, like, you know, magical, you know, experience. How are you guys capturing that as far as the set design goes?
Well, it's actually all very low-tech, you know. No one's literally flying around. We haven't figured out how to make people literally levitate off of ropes. And it's not about, you know, it's not about the company Flying by Foy that goes around and does wonderful things. It's theatrical stage effects. It's actually, like, the opposite. It's creating the simplest little effects. And we travel to 100 places, a lagoon, a pirate ship, you know, landing wharf. We're sort of all over the map in this play, but the set is very simple. It's basically the nursery. We never really leave there, but we use little nods, little gestures to transform the space on a dime. For example, when we go onto the pirate ship, suddenly everything is swaying back and forth as if on the sea. So it's also in this very wonderful space, the cell, which is a theater, but also it's a gallery, it's a home, it's a concert venue, and it's not a typical black box theater. It's actually all white. All the walls are painted white, and there's giant windows and things like that, and we embrace all of that. We don't try to cover it up. So you really just sense that you're in that room, but then hopefully we charge it with the experience of the story of the play.
How do you want this production to ultimately be remembered?
Oh, wow. I want people to remember when they look back on it that it was sort of something that was both really simple and really profound, really moving.